We continue with our sermon series on Romans today. Scholars have suggested that this letter, in many ways, serves as a commentary on Paul's earlier letter to the Galatians. Now, in the letter to the Galatians, Paul emphasized that the Christian believer is freed from the law to live a life in the Spirit. Some of Paul's opponents use that teaching to say that Paul was promoting a lifestyle where people could sin as much as they wanted to because they would be forgiven. Now, in Romans, Paul goes to great lengths to answer that criticism and to provide further explanation. The passage that we'll study today comes from the first half of chapter 6. These verses are part of a long section that goes through chapter 8 in which Paul discusses the incompatibility of a chronic life of sin and the Christian faith. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. I'll read the first 11 verses from chapter 6. And this is what Paul wrote. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a magic wand? I know this is the stuff of fairy tales, but if you did, you could wave your wand and change things in an instant. And maybe you would right every wrong and solve every problem in our world. And that would certainly be nice right now. Recently, I asked some of you what you would do with a magic wand, and you gave me some terrific answers. Some were lighthearted, and some were serious. One person said that he would like to think that he would use his magic wand for good, but he confessed that he would be tempted to cast a spell on the UNC men's basketball team where they couldn't hit a basket any time they play NC State. Now, another person said that if I had a magic wand, I would delete all TV commercials, especially political and drug ads. Some others said that they would use their wand to go back in time to visit a loved one who had passed away. Another person said, if I had a magic wand, I would wave away the crippling effect that anxiety can have on myself, my loved ones, and humanity as a whole. Other folks told me that if they had a magic wand, they would use that wand to make hate go away, or to use that power to make everyone love one another, or even to develop a vaccine for COVID-19. It is fun thinking about what we might do if we had a magic wand and how we might change things. But in reality, we know that we can't change things by just waving a wand. Transformation isn't so easy in our world. It takes work. It takes time. It takes vision. But when we pay attention to what's happening around us, we likely will see some good examples of transformation. For instance, someone buys an old school bus, gives it a fresh coat of paint that's not yellow, takes out all the seats, removes some of the windows, maybe adds a bathroom and a little kitchen, a couple beds, and voila, it's an RV. That old school bus has been transformed. Someone else might buy a rundown house, then knock down a few walls, add a room, give it a new roof and a fresh coat of paint, and it's transformed. After living in her home for 40 years, my mom decided it was time to update her kitchen. She took out the old cabinets, countertops, and flooring, and she installed new, modern-looking ones, and her kitchen was transformed. It is exciting to see something new arise from something old. But before anything can change, vision's needed. Vision to see new possibilities. Vision to imagine something better. And once we have that vision, we can begin living into that new reality. Of course, we don't always see new possibilities for ourselves, for others, or for our world. And one of the biggest factors that contributes to this is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of something different, fear of change. When we Christians live in fear, we don't look like the transformed people we're called to be. Now, fear has a way of eclipsing the good news of Jesus that should shine brightly in our lives, and that hurts our witness. Now, I think there are times when people outside of the faith look at us Christians and they don't see anything that draws them in or gives them a vision for a better life. They don't see the Christian faith as providing any help in dealing with the brokenness that's part of our world. But this is not the way it should be, because Jesus calls us to be salt to the earth and light to the world. In our scripture text from Romans, Paul gives us a vision of what we can be, and he goes out of his way to make sure we understand that Christ has given us a new reality. We may not feel this all the time, but a transformation has taken place. Paul writes in verse 6, "We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." He then goes on to say in verse 11, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." In other words, Paul is saying that we are transformed because of Christ. But what difference does that make right now? Well, Paul reminds us that in the moment of baptism, a full-scale transformation is initiated. In baptism, we're connected to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our sinful self has died on the cross with Jesus. Our broken flesh is buried in the tomb with him. And now we have risen to new life with Christ because we are transformed. Those of us who are baptized followers of Jesus Christ are living in a new reality, regardless of what we feel today. Transformation is beginning to take shape because we are spiritually resurrected. A full transformation, of course, will take place when Christ returns, but change has already started. But what exactly is different about us? How are we transformed in the present? Well, a couple things happen. When we give our lives to Christ, we live resurrected from servitude. That means we're no longer enslaved to sin and death. Before we welcome Christ into our lives, sin and death owned us. All we could do was sin. That was our condition. Even our best efforts were marred by the fact that we were far from God. But once we welcomed Jesus into our lives, a resurrection took place. God filled us with the Holy Spirit and gave us the strength to not sin. Now, we have a choice to live in a different way. And yet, we don't always do this. From time to time, we slip up and we sin. But let's remember that God sees us not in light of our sin, but in light of our resurrection. When God looks at us, the Lord sees sons and daughters rather than sinners. Remember, our sinful life was buried in the waters of baptism, and now God is simply working to help us live more holy lives. God is working to transform the way we live, the way we think, the way we act, because we're no longer enslaved to sin and death. Another important change that happens when we welcome Christ into our lives is that we're resurrected from shame and fear. Now, we are made new in Jesus Christ, but chances are we still spend a good deal of time looking backward, thinking about mistakes we've made or regrets we have. And when we dwell on the past, we tend to feel shameful about our sins. We may even fear punishment. But Paul reminds us that we are a resurrected people. And resurrected people look forward rather than backward. Of course, if there is something that you've done that doesn't fit with your transformation, you should confess your sin, turn from it, and give thanks for the forgiveness that is yours in Jesus Christ. But don't let your sin crush you. Don't be overcome by shame, and don't live in fear of rejection. Our baptism has made it clear how God feels about us. We are new creations. We're loved, and we should live as such. When we don't live like a new creation, that is, when we slip up in sin, rather than beating ourselves up, let's simply go back to the promise made in our baptism, the promise that we are loved so much that we've been raised to new life. Returning to that promise keeps us moving forward rather than backward. But honestly, living like resurrected people, I think, is easier said than done. Just because we give ourselves to Christ doesn't mean life automatically gets easy. Truth is, we continue to struggle with sin. We face temptations that try to pull us away from God. And often, there's an inward struggle between good and evil within our own hearts. Some days we do good, and some days evil rears up its ugly head and moves us to act in ways that aren't in alignment with the purposes of God. And when we look back on those moments, we do wonder how on earth we ever got tricked into acting that way. Johnny Cash put words to these feelings in a song that he wrote called "The Beast in Me." Now, the words of this song go, "Sometimes it tries to kid me that it's just a teddy bear, or even somehow managed to vanish in the air. And that's when I must beware. But everybody knows they've seen him out, dressed in my clothes. God help the beast in me." Thankfully, the beast in us, that is the sinner in us, is not all that we are. It may try to roar up its ugly head. It may occasionally rumble and roar. But in the eyes of God, we are something vastly different. We are transformed people, and we're empowered by God's Holy Spirit to live a transformed life. It's tough to grasp hold of this lesson because living as resurrected people may sound impossible to us. But let's remember that Christ has ushered in a new age. In Christ, God is saving and transforming the world. This is something God does for us. It's something that God does to us. And so to live in this transformation, to live as a resurrected person, you may need to surround yourself with a few more transformed people who actively remind you of who you are. And you may need to spend more time in God's Word, which helps you fend off the temptations that seek to lead you astray. But remember, God is in the business of transforming us. And so today we can choose by the power of the Holy Spirit to be the person that we want to be. We can choose to be the person that the world needs. And we can choose to be who God says we are. So let's live like we're no longer enslaved to sin. It is true that sinning is part of our nature, but don't let your sin shake your confidence, because God has raised us to new life. Through Christ, we're given eternal life. We're given a life in which we're forgiven and loved without question. This isn't a license to sin, but it is a recognition that whenever we mess up, we can still move forward and enjoy the gift of new life because we have been transformed. We do live in a troubled world that's full of brokenness and sin, and we face our own struggles. But we don't have to be stuck in our sin, because God has transformed us in Jesus Christ. We are a resurrected people. So let's live that way. Let's make it a reality. And let's invite more people to join us on this incredible journey of transformation. I invite you to join me in prayer. Let us pray together. God of grace and mercy, we thank you for the new life you have given us through Jesus Christ. You have changed our reality, but we haven't always lived into it. We pray now that we would live as a resurrected people, that we would live as a people of good news who have love and joy and grace to share with all the world. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.